You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. Todd, three-game sweep of the Rockies, four in a row overall for this Phillies team. They're 8-4 in August. Suddenly, this is like the Phillies team that we saw earlier in the year as far as competing, but I feel like they're doing it differently. They're doing it better because it was all about the one-run games back then, and you knew it would kind of even out. But now, they seem like they're just playing good baseball.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, offensively, they're being a little bit more productive, giving the pitching staff a little bit more leeway than they were when they were after that. I think they were 24-17 through, you know, mid-May. And you just knew that was not going to last because, you know, you can only win so many 2-1, 3-2 games. After a while, you're going to have to start scoring some runs. So the bats have been coming around a little bit. Cameron Ruff has been productive. You know, believe it or not, Ryan Howard has been productive, surprisingly so, in a reserve role. And it kind of has some people going, what do you think they could trade him before the end, you know, before the end of the month? And, you know, which is honestly is a question you didn't think anybody would be asking just a few weeks ago. But certainly, you know, they're pitching better. The back of the bullpen has been pitching better. They've been getting some decent starts from time to time. But really, that offense has helped them out quite a bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned the pitching, and the pitching's been there sometimes, not other times. And obviously, some issues now because Eflin likely done for the year, and he had kind of been figuring it out a little bit. How much of a big hit is that to lose Eflin for the rest of the year with the fracture in his foot?
Yeah, it definitely hurts them. But, I think at this stage of the game, it hurts him more in terms of development than it hurts the team. Because I still think the team in the front office especially is still realistic about what they want to accomplish this season. And while it is great in their minds that the team is playing well and maybe kind of inching up a little bit closer towards that 500 mark, they know that this is a development year. And so to lose Zach the rest of the season for any stretch of time, I think they were hoping to see him a little bit more. His last three starts, he had really struggled, probably because of that stress fracture in his foot and his knee issues. I think they were hoping to give him a look a little bit longer. But the good news is, you know, it shouldn't be anything too serious. They don't think. And going forward, they're still really high on him, and I would expect him to, you know, certainly challenge for a rotation spot next year if he's not back this year.
Another guy that'll be challenging for a rotation spot next year, Jake Thompson, who now has picked up his first major league win, and what a difference a trip through the rotation makes, because he such a rough go in his major league debut, but such a difference against the Rockies. He gets the win and has kind of a historic moment when he has four strikeouts in one inning. That's one of those weird stats that you don't necessarily want because it means something went wrong at some point. But nonetheless, he did it. Second Philly to ever do that. What was the biggest difference you saw from major league debut to first big league win for Thompson?
Well, I think the biggest thing, honestly, was probably his nerves settled. Now, he said after that debut in San Diego, he swore that he wasn't nervous or amped up or anything like that. But if I talked to, I think it was Carlos Ruiz caught that first game, and he said he was amped up. He talked to Pete McCann, and he said he was overthrowing that first inning in San Diego. So I think he settled down a bit. You know, you can't help but be excited, nervous, et cetera, in your first major league start. You know, Zach Eflin got experienced that in Toronto back in June. So, I think settling down certainly helped him out a little bit. And then, you know, with settling down comes better command of your pitches. He didn't have as many pitches up in the strike zone, out over the plate. And certainly when you're not doing those things, you're commanding your fastball a bit better. That sets up everything else, and he's enjoying a little bit more success.
There's one thing this Phillies team could use a little more of from its rotation is innings, I think, and taking some of that pressure and burden off the bullpen. Is that something that the starters talk at all about here late in the year, being able to maybe get a little deeper into games and bail out that bullpen?
Yeah, I think so. That has been a little bit of a cause of concern. Other than really Hellickson and Eichhoff, there hasn't been, and really Aaron Nola early in the season before he got hurt and before he started to struggle, the rotation has not been really pitching too deep into games. And Velasquez his pitch count just gets so high in the first few innings. He's been walking too many batters, which he says has been an issue for him. So certainly going forward, they would like to pitch a little bit deeper. But the issue there is some of these young pitchers, and I'm speaking of Velasquez and Eflin before he got hurt, the Phillies are trying to monitor their workload. So they're also not going to necessarily be turned loose. So it's kind of a catch-22. You want them to pitch deep in the game, but they also want to be mindful of their workload because they haven't really necessarily pitched too deep in their too many innings in their professional career. So, and then the third aspect of it, of course, is when guys are going through rough stretches. You know, Adam Morgan, who pitched the other day and had to leave because of a bruised forearm, he had struggled early, so he hadn't pitched too deep in the games. So there's a lot of different factors involved, but certainly going forward, you know, you'd like to see Velasquez be able to go a little bit deeper. You'd like to see Eichhoff and Hellickson continue to pitch deep. And then maybe, you know, some of these other guys, Morgan specifically, they can get into the sixth inning or even longer.
Chase Utley faced the Phillies for the first time since leaving Philadelphia last week, but now he comes to Philadelphia. It's a little different story, I think. Do you expect a little emotion out of Chase Utley, a guy that's certainly not known for that?
You know, I guess it's all relative. I don't expect Chase to get too emotional. He's just not that type of guy. In fact, it was kind of funny. We were talking to him last week in Los Angeles in the Dodgers' dugout, and somebody asked him what he expected it would be. He very kind of Chase-like, robotic-like, said, I expect it to be, I think it could be a little emotional or a bit emotional is what his words were. And it was just funny coming out of his mouth because he said it in the most unemotional way possible. So I think he's going to appreciate the moment. I expect him to be his first at-bats Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to get standing ovations and have him tip his cap. But in terms of him being worked up, it's just not his style. And quite frankly, if he does show any emotion, there will be nobody more surprised in the ballpark than me. Because it's just not his style. I think he appreciates the Phillies fans. He loved his time in Philly. He loved the Phillies organization. But he is just not an emotional guy.
At some point, Chase Utley will be honored by the Phillies as a member of their Wall of Fame. I think that's pretty much a lock once he's retired and everything. And this weekend, Jim Thome earned his spot in the Wall of Fame. And Tomey's an interesting, I guess, test case because he only played three seasons for the Phillies. But I feel like they were just such an important three seasons because he came along when this franchise had some young players but was certainly kind of getting to the end of a really tough stretch in the franchise's history. He shows up. He agrees to come to Philadelphia, for one thing, which is something that I think the franchise had some troubles bringing players like that in. And he gets there right with the new ballpark. And it seemed like everything kind of came together. And while they didn't win for a little time later, and they obviously didn't win the World Series until after he had left, I feel like him coming to Philadelphia kind of started that train rolling.
It did. You know, it's funny. I had a lot of people ask me, you know, how could they put Jim Thome on the Phillies' Wall of Fame because he didn't spend enough time in Philly. He's got the shortest tenure of anybody on the Phillies' Wall of Fame. Like you mentioned, three whole seasons, basically. But I wrote about this the other day, he truly represented, I think, the rebirth of baseball in Philadelphia. And people forget, from the 93 NL championship team, through the time Jim Thome was signed in December of 2012, I mean, the Phillies were, you know, in the basement of the National League East. They were consistently among the worst teams in baseball. They could not get a free agent to Philly to save their life, anybody of any clout, actually. And it was just, you know, nobody really got excited about baseball in Philly. No players got excited about coming to Philly. And then the Phillies went out, and they gave Jim Thome a six-year, $85 million offer, which obviously helped. But when he signed that deal, it really kind of sparked that renaissance. And like you said, they didn't win until after he left. But that 2003 season, people forget, they were in the wild card race going into the last week of the season before the Marlins overtook them. You know, they competed. They were above 500 in 2004. He got hurt in 2005. They also made a wild card run that year. So they came close while he was here, but I think certainly the impact he had on baseball in Philadelphia was his biggest contribution. He really symbolize that baseball in Philly was back, that this is a place where people should come if you're a free agent, a place that you can consider. Without Jim Thome that year, they don't go out and trade for Kevin Millwood. They don't sign David Bell as kind of complimentary pieces. And without those guys getting the team close to the wild card, they don't necessarily go out and trade for Billy Wagner the following offseason, and then following him is Tom Gordon. You know what I mean? He was really a great domino effect in terms of the Phillies franchise.
I moved to the Philadelphia area in 2001, and I remember in that time, the Phillies definitely felt like number four. I mean, you know, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers all seem like more popular teams in Philadelphia, and I agree with you. Thome kind of started the excitement, along with the new ballpark. Obviously, going from the Vet experience to Citizens Bank Park was an improvement would be the ultimate understatement, but going from the turf to the grass and everything about that, but it was certainly huge, and I think definitely deserved to be in the Wall of Fame. Plus, he's an all-time great guy as far as clubhouse and everything and all of his stops, so congratulations to Jim Thome. That's going to do it for this edition of MLB.com Extras, the Phillies edition. Along with Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.